We'll see if we can make it a little bit shorter. So let's start with the psukim and just read and translate a basic understanding of the psukim, and then we'll ask our questions. So this section on the parsha says, "Vam Yisrael," it refers to Yaakov Avinu as Yisrael. So kind of, you know, pay attention to that over here.
You mean the interchange sometimes Yaakov, sometimes Yisrael.
Exactly, right? So here this is after the Shabbatim tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is still alive. Vam Yisrael. Rav, oi, Yosef, bini, chai. I'm not trying to say Rav exactly over here. But Yosef, my son, is still alive. El chaveranu, I will go, and I will see him. B'terem amus, before I die. B'yisa Yisrael, v'chlesh alai. How do you translate B'yisa Yisrael?
Traveled.
Traveled, okay. So Yisrael traveled, and everything along with him. V'yavoi be'er shava, and he came to be'er shava. It's interesting, right? It's only talking about him. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, back to Beersheba. Yeah. I feel like we've discussed it like every single week this year. And he sacrifices to the father, to the God of his father Yitzchak. So the Lord says to Yaakov, in the visions of the night. And he says, Yaakov, and he repeats his name twice. He says, "Behold, here I am." I am the Lord of your father. Altira Meir Dam Mitzrayma. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. Because I'm going to make you into a great nation there. I am going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. And I will surely be going back up with you from Mitzrayim. And Yosef will place his hand on your eyes. Which apparently is like, you know, the imagery of a person dies. And then, you know, Yosef
like shut your eyes
covers
or something
like that. That's what it sounds like. So now Yaakov arises from Be'er Shava. And B'nai Yisrael carry Yaakov, their father, and their children, and their wives, and the wagons. Say that Yosef had sent. Well, in here it doesn't say Yosef's power. Paro sent to carry him. So they took their cattle, all of their property, Canaan that they had in the land of Canaan that they purchased, whatever. And they came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov and all of his descendants with him. All of them he brought with him to Mitzrayim. A lot of repetition, there's a lot of stuff going on over here. So let's just ask some of the questions if you have more that you want to toss in, so, you know, toss them in. So first things first, what was the purpose of Yaakov going to Mitzrayim? Pasuk says he wants to see Yosef. That's dumb, interesting.
Not for
food. Before he dies.
To see Yosef before he dies.
Right.
Because he might die. And this actually, I have a question on that. Because it's not that he gets to Egypt and dies away. He continues to live in Egypt for a fair amount of time.
Right.
So his death was not imminent.
I mean, did he know? Did he not know? Right, but fair enough, right? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's concerned.
Well, Rashi says that you're supposed to become worried when you're within 5 years.
Right. But it's interesting that, you know, he wants to see him. You know, I don't know. Part of me says that doesn't sound like something one of the Avos would say.
Want to see
see him before I die. You know, I want to, you know, like, nachas. He needs nachas. Is that, that's a little funny. Okay. There could
but
be.
But if you go through the sequence of events in Parz Vayechi, I mean, he blesses them. It's like a whole process. It was like necessary to do.
Before he died.
See, Yaakov is very attached to his children. Binyamin, something happened to Binyamin. Even though he had grandchildren from Binyamin, he's like, no, that's.
Yep. I don't know. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, that's what the reason the psukim give for why Yaakov wants to go there to see him. Why does it not give a direction for Vayisa? Let's take a look at this pasuk again. I asked you what the translation of it. He said to travel. Yeah, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher eloi. Where were they going?
Well, we found out to Beersheba.
But that's not where they were going, right?
You're going up to Mitzrayim. So you're saying it was out of the way if we look at a map?
Well, it doesn't have the destination. Doesn't it always say, Vayisa Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim? Or, where's he going? It just says he traveled.
Where the plant of cedars.
Also, maybe he's going somewhere else. Is that what you're pointing out? Maybe not. Maybe Rami. Maybe he wasn't going to Mizraim. Maybe he was going somewhere else. You know, it just says he traveled. It's interesting when it says that he wants to see Yosef. It doesn't say where he is. The location is not important. It's just that he wants to see him. And then when it says that he traveled, it says that he traveled without saying where, and everything with him. Also traveled? That's like a little funny, right? And he brought everything with him. And he arrived. He came to Be'er Sheva. That's not where he was going? That was where he was going? It doesn't sound like that was where he was going, right? Because it would have said that's where he was going. He says, and he came. Was a pit stop? It's interesting. It's like, oh, and he came there. Ah, you know, while we're here. You know, is that what it was?
But the flow of the pasuk makes sense.
What?
You have the map? No. Over there, out of the way. Yisrael traveled, everything. It was there. But Yavi Be'er Sheva. Yeah, so I'm saying that the flow makes... I don't find... Contradiction.
It's just that it says that they traveled. It doesn't say where they're going.
But it says,
if it had said they were going to Be'er Sheva, it would make sense. But Yisa Yisrael Be'er Sheva or Be'er Sheva.
And then you say Chol Shaloi?
Okay, that's an interesting question. But where were they traveling? That's my question. Where were they going?
Obvious.
Sounds like Be'er Sheva.
Mitzrayim. Why isn't? Oh, it's obvious. It doesn't need to say. Okay, maybe.
I'm saying, but Yisa is like a journey to somewhere else, isn't it? Like a journey. It's like we're relocating to another place. We're not just journeying
to Mitzrayim. No.
Okay. They're on their journey.
It's funny, it never says it.
What about the name? Does that not
strike you as weird? Be'er Sheva or what?
The Irashava.
Yeah, so Rashi is going to point out that that's actually very telling in how to translate this passage. We may be on the wrong track. Yeah. Okay. Why did Yaakov Avinu, Olav HaShalom, bring Karbanos now? In other words, first things first, what's the purpose of these Karbanos? The
Ruach came back to him.
So
he was able to... He didn't have
the okay, so that's, if that's the angle you're going to take, is that he's like, it's like a korban todah to thank Hashem Baruch Hu, where should he be bringing them? After we go to wherever we're going, and we happen to be in Be'er Sheva.
No,
that was a good time. How about before you leave, when you got it back?
We discussed the significance of Be'er Sheva. It was some sort of, remember the ladder went all the way there.
So what's the purpose of going? So now you're changing your tune?
Be'er Sheva is where you have a whole...
but that's the question of the ladder, right? Where was the middle of the ladder?
Not the ladder. Isn't that where he had the whole treaty?
No, that's his
There was a treatment. And that's what's called one Be'er Sheva. Could be. Yitzhak gave rock. Yeah, so maybe that's. So then what's the purpose according to that?
That was a treaty.
Sure, we didn't say like Abraham.
We're going to, you know, go down the Gamas whatever it was. Right?
So
the treaty has something to do with that as well.
By Avimelech.
Correct.
So what would be the purpose now?
That's why it's
so that there is a connection to Yitzhak.
Yeah, he's first going back to the place where the treaty was done in order to ensure that we're going to Mitzrayim and Hashem is going to keep up with the treaty and let them out.
Okay, so maybe there's some sort of going back in history or something like
history,
that too.
That's the place where the treaty was commenced.
And so here it's a continuity of the treaty or something like that. Maybe it has something to do with what's going to happen next.
He knows he's going to Mitzrayim. He knows that he's going to get stuck in Mitzrayim. So he stops the Be'er Sheva where Hashem made the treaty with his father Yitzhak, where it says that he...
That was Gerar, no? But that was by Gruar, right?
Yeah. Not Paro. Last time when Yitzhak was redirected.
Where did Yitzhak make the treaty with Hashem?
In Be'er Sheva, I believe.
There was.
Yeah, it was Be'er Sheva.
Yeah.
The rocks there.
So the point is, he's going back to the place where Yitzhak made the treaty with Hashem.
Yeah.
In order, before he goes to Mitzrayim, to make sure that the treaty is...
Where Abimelech was. Abimelech was king of Mitzrayim.
Gruar.
And Yitzhak was redirected from Mitzrayim to Be'er Sheva.
Paro
was redirected from going to Mitzrayim to
Be'er Sheva. Right, right. He was told not to go to Mitzrayim. I'll tell you in Mitzrayim.
Maybe Yashkosh would tell him the same thing.
Ah, okay. Good. So everybody's on, you know, on the same page. Right? But that's what it's going
to
revolve.
There's definitely significance to Be'er Sheva.
Good.
Sure.
So there's something going on. So first of all, what's the purpose of these karbanos? Everyone's trying to say, well, you see from Eliki Yitzchak, somehow this is related to what happened by Yitzchak, has to be. And that's why he's relating it back to Yitzchak Avinu. And for some reason, and that's why it's apparently not before he leaves home, because it has to be there. And it's also interesting, the Ramban makes a big point about this later on. When it comes to karbanos, you always find karbanos to Yud Kei Vav Kei, Lasha. You never find karbanos to Elikim.
Him?
Yeah, this is very unique by Karbanos. It's fucking Din. What's
right, Din. Yeah, it's a Din. Oh, because the 22 years are over. The Mida Kenegan Mida is over. 22 years that he gave Yitzchak. Right.
So then why? So this should be done with the Din.
So that's what I'm saying. So this is the closure. This is the carbon.
So we should be
starting right now. Oh, anyway,
No, he had 22 years that he gave that he didn't wasn't able to serve Yitzhak or something. Wasn't this the connected midas was 22 years?
But if it's over, but you don't want to get involved in midas adin. You want to get away from midas adin.
Is that the closure? This is the closure. The carbon is the closure.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. You're right, but the elikim is a.
Okay. And then again, that may tie in specifically to why it's Elikei Aviv Yitzchak, which is definitely what that's very unique, right?
Say
Elikim? Here it says the second line here. Zvachim Lelikei Aviv Yitzchak. So when he sacrificed them, the kavan of Yaakov Avinu was to Elikei Aviv Yitzchak. Vayomer Elikim Lisa.
So that. Not doing Zvachim Lelikim. Vayomer Elikim.
Before that, it says Vayizbach Zivachim Lelikei Aviv Yitzchak. What?
Elikei is
like
the same
as
Elikim?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
What does it say later?
Mm-hmm. No, because look at when Hashem responded, you know, Elikim, you see, he responded Lashon Din.
Yeah.
That's the response.
It's not Lashem. It's not Lashem. And the response is from Elikim. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's also interesting that the Zevachim are, it doesn't, isn't, well, the Rishonim basically point out that a Zevach is a Shlom, as opposed to being a Korban Oila, which was the traditional Korbanos of B'nei Noyach, let's say, because it all gets burnt up, and not a Shlom in which is everyone takes part. And it's also plural, so it sounds like there was more than one. What?
70 mouths to feed.
Okay, if you're bringing korban, but that was not traditional back then.
How do we know he ate it? Back, it says he ate it?
If it's a shlamim, then they ate it. If it's not a shlamim, then they didn't. But the zevachim is mashmad, it was a shlamim. Yes. It was a zevach.
Wine is part of it.
Barbecue. Okay, and then it seems like it's in plural. And also, back to this, why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu communicate with Yaakov, you know, specifically using in Shem Elikim? That's also interesting. Why does it refer to, and this is biggie for me, because the beginning of this section here says, Vayom Yisrael, and by the time we're done, he's Yaakov again. That's really strange or telling. Why does it
has to be telling? Him? Because the Maal said there's going to be times you call Yisrael.
Yeah, but it's like such a, it's so same blatant that the narrative, if you will, Vayomer right. Yisrael. That yeah,
begs to learn.
Vayisa Yisrael, and then a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "Hey Yaakov," you know, it's like, Yisrael. Whoa, what just happened? It really gets your attention. He's being called Yisrael, and then when a Kaddish Baruch Hu addresses him, he says, "Yaakov." It's like really striking. Something's going on over there. And also interesting, what's B'maros Halayla? Where do you find B'maros Halayla?
Didn't this happen with Avram, but the person of Sarim also said the same lesson? I think so.
By Brisbane of Sarim?
Yeah.
Who else? That what?
Don't tell me.
By Marcos, he said? What does it say? I'm forgetting. What is it? To who?
I don't know about Bilam. Maybe Abimelech or that when Hashem appeared to him in a dream, the Sarah or something, or Rifkah.
I think by Lavan it says, no? Isn't by Lavan?
Oh, you're right. That's right. It comes broken. Yeah, when he was chased before he chased after Yaakov.
Atypical. Why? What's going on with it? Why is that important? And then when Kaddish Baruch Hu, of course, reassures Malad, don't be afraid. So what is he reassuring him about? What is he afraid of? You know, I want to go see Yosef. You know, like what's he afraid of? And why is it that Yisrael is traveling and seems to be running the show? In other words, who's causing things here? It says, "Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher loy." He's taking them, right? Vayavoy. There's not even plural. It's all in the singular. It's Yaakov Avinu doing everything. And what happens by the time we're done? Vayisu v'neisu es Yaakov Avim. Now everything's changed. So they're taking him and he's Yaakov. So the name has changed, and they're taking him. He's not taking them anymore. And it kind of goes back at the end, and it says, "Vayavoyu," all in the plural, "Yaakov v'chol zaroi itoy, v'nav v'nei v'nav itoy." So it does kind of like mitigate it a little bit, but the change is very stark. Yeah, so it's like going from active to passive. Yeah. Okay. So those are the questions that I noticed. So first things first. So the Al-Sheikh. So he points out that there are really two things that they were trying to tell Yaakov Avinu about in terms of Yosef. Yosef is chai, v'chihu moishel, in the land of Yilchol Eretz Mitzrayim. Yeah, two things. He's living, and then he's a moishel. So what are these two nekudas? So he sees the wagons, he sees everything coming from Paro. Okay, so he must be a moishel, that's true. And if he's alive, so he's alive. Like, what's to talk about? But we know that the only people that are really called chai are tzaddikim. How does he know he's still a tzaddik after all of this? Everybody was midrashim about the agalos, is it, you know, the egla arufa, and there were certain ramazim that was hinting there. So the al sheikh writes, "Oy Yosef b'ni Chai v'tzaddik, v'ani kimat kashel ahamin." It's hard for me to believe the Yosef b'makom zima in Mitzrayim, with such a terrible immoral place, that he's still such a tzaddik.
L'chein lo yisik karir dati. He's saying Yaakov's rationale.
Yaakov's mind. He's like, I'm not going to be convinced that Yosef is really this tzaddik until I see him. In other words, it wasn't just stam to see him, that he wants to see him and get nachas. It's that he needed to be convinced that he was still who he could have been and should have been. He wanted to see him. And he writes like this, and I underline this part, Akira bepartsuf panav, I'll be able to recognize in the what's called the partsuf of his face, im tzadiku im ayin, if he's a tzadik or not.
Yeah? What is a partsuf? Shekhin? The form, the shape?
I'm going to leave it as a non-translated thing. In some sort of ruchnias away, there are people that can see on a person's face whether the person's a tzaddik or a rasha and all these kinds of things. Shekein hayu makirim bizman imahem. In those days, they had such a chachma that you could see in a person's partsuf, you could see if he's a tzaddik or a rasha.
What was the objective?
Because he needed to see. He wanted to see if he was a tzaddik, because he's gonna, we'll see more that it's going to be important for who he's going to be and what's going to be with Klal Yisrael in the future and what Yosef, what Yaakov always envisioned Yosef to be. This is like a different avenue, but just, you know, footnote that this whole parsha that Yaakov is giving different treatment to Yosef, everybody says that's crazy. Like, it's going to create kinah. Like, why would you do that? So Rukam pointed out, you don't find such a kinah by Levi, and Levi was also treated differently, and there was also different, and Levi was going to do this and that. You do find that there were other things going on. It's just that the brothers didn't agree with their father when it came to Yosef. What Yaakov saw as Yosef's future for Klal Yisrael, I have my Rukobas from Rukam's shmuz on Sunday, I got to collect them. But that Yosef, Yaakov had a vision for how he would lead Klal Yisrael. And the brothers saw him playing with his hair and doing all these things, and they didn't agree with that. And it reached a point where they thought he was going to ruin them, according to what Yaakov saw it, and they disagreed with him. So that was a big difference between... And now Yaakov is being told he's still alive. Maybe in a Hanami. Maybe what I saw and I thought was still going to come true, but we have to make sure that this is really a real deal. Anyway, but that's how the Al-Sheikh learns the idea of seeing him. I thought that was interesting. Now, what exactly was the purpose of these karbanos in Beersheba? So this is what Chaim was pointing out, that when you see that it says Vayisa Yisrael v'chala asher Elohe v'yav ba'eira shava. How do you translate ba'eira shava? Two words, no?
No,
because it's the name of a city. What?
Rav Sefer Bereishis.
Yes, so you take a look. So I'll have the
entire
of
Unkel
here
and
Rashi. He always says, when I was a kid, this is...
Towards. It's instead of a lama. Very good, right? So it's here too. So the Targum Unculus, he translates as V'notal Yisrael V'chol Dilei V'osel V'ershava. Yisa, he does not translate as he traveled, he took. He took. Where is he coming from? Who says Vayisa means to take? Where is he coming from? So if you take a look at Rashi there, Rashi writes V'ershava, exactly what Levi just said. K'mo live V'ershava. Or V'ershava. Hey, B'sof Teva V'mokam Lama B'tchilasa. It means towards. So according to this, we have to reread the pasuk. According to the reason, what it means, according to this, Uncle Saint Rashi, but Yisrael Yisrael Chalash Aloy, Yisrael took everything himself, I don't know, and everything that was his, but Yavah Beresheva, and he went towards Beresheva. He was taka traveling to Beresheva. That's how it ends up according to this.
Is there any difference between the Lamed and the Ayer if they're exactly the same?
That's actually learns that that's how the Chumash does it. So, yeah.
And then you have a problem. And so, Vayisa is really telling you exactly where he's going.
But that changes everything now. Because originally...
Really, we thought he was going to Mitzrayim.
Yeah. And now he's going to Beersheba. So now that starts to make a little sense. Apparently, he's going to Beersheba. The purpose of these korbanos has to do with Beersheba and Yitzhak and whatever. We'll try to clarify it. But that's what's going on, is that he's going down to Yosef as the ultimate destination. But he has to make a pit stop. This is very important.
Get permission, maybe.
Right, something's going on over here. So you'll notice I saw that the Malbim points this out a slightly different angle. The Malbim points this out. Where were the wagons parked? Right? In other words, they left, they went to Beersheba, and at the end, you'll notice it says...
And everything joined them.
But, well, it says...
But they
traveled
everything at the end, right?
They took...
One
three lines up from the bottom. Yaakov, Yaakov, Beersheba, Yaakov, Aviem, V'estapa, Misnei, Be'agaloi, Sesher, Shalach, Paro. But when they're going here, it just says they traveled. Where were the Agalos parked? Did they go back to get them? So I don't know, you know, that's kind of a funny way to say it. But the bottom line is, it's not Negeya, because they weren't in the Agalos yet, because they weren't going to Mitzrayim yet. Whether they did or they didn't, or they were parked here or there. The point is that they weren't going to Mitzrayim yet. They were going to Beersheba, and then they were going to have to decide where we're going to go, where we're supposed to go, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, which is going to lead us to Yitzchak Avinu, and some of you are mentioning this, that he was in a very similar situation. So the Rashbam writes, the Leki Avav Yitzchak, that he was sacrificing to the Lord of his father Yitzchak, She'asha Asa Sham Yitzchak Mizbeach Beersheba. That's where Yitzchak made his korban, Keshenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, K'masha HaKasa B'Varasa Eile told us Yitzchak, V'asa Gamhu, Sham zvachim kumaisha asa aviv. So, reading the Rashbam without adding anything to what the Rashbam says, I would say he wants to repeat what his father did. He doesn't expand on it. The Radak does. We'll see in a moment. But I just want to point out that you have this very much by Yitzchak, that he's doing the same things Avram did, redigging the wells. There's a major, important nekuda by the Avos. Of not going beyond what was before you unless the Ribbono Shel Olam says so. There's a very strong idea of Mesira and repetition and doing what was the Mesira. This is our Mesira, this is what we do. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have to do differently, that means I'm different than what came before. But until that, I do what came before, and that's all you see in the Rashba. The Radak goes a step further, and the Radak says, like, yeah, Yitzchak, right, that someone mentioned. Because Yitzchak wanted to go to Mitzrayim. Why? Because it was a famine. Ah, guess what? Parallel. That's what's happening here. He wants to go to Mitzrayim because of a famine. Hashem says, don't go to Mitzrayim. So that was by Yitzchak Avinu. So Radak just says, that's like, I don't know, Kitzayer, it's the border, it's the end, it's on its way out, it's the last city on the way out. Okay, I don't know exactly how to geographically work that out. But he's saying that was at the end, so to speak, of Eretz Kanan. So it's like, okay, we've reached the end, should we go further? You know, it's interesting to me, because we'll figure it out before you start traveling. Why are you wasting all this time going to Beersheba? Maybe Beersheba is so unique because of all these other things that were happening there.
You need to invoke the name of Hashem. That's what it says there.
You can't do it at home.
Seems that way. It seems something with Beersheba.
Something with Beersheba for sure. But Kodesh Ratzim Yino Haaretz, Ratzim Ledas, Ratzim Akel, Yimino Kasher Mono Aviv Yitzchak. So Yaakov wants to know, is Hashem going to prevent me to tell me no, just like my father? Or maybe not. V'zavach Zavachim, Kedei Shetavoy Elav Ruach Nevuah. So he's bringing the Korbanos. The purpose of him, says the Radak, is that she should connect to a Kadosh Baruch and have a Nevuah, that he should find the answer to this specific question. So he wants to see Yosef, he wants to go there, but maybe that's not the Ratzon Hashem. So he goes to Beersheba like his father did, and he asks a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or at least he brings Korbanos to be able to communicate with a Kadosh Baruch Hu at that point. So they couldn't actually go to Mitzrayim yet. That's why they're not in the wagons, because they asked them, well, maybe we're not supposed to go.
The wagons were left at home, basically.
maybe they were parked back at home. But maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu would say no. So they're not doing it before they left, which is interesting. There's something unique about Beersheba, maybe because of so Yitzchak went, or maybe there's more to it than that. But that's what Yitzchak did. So that's level one, I would say, is that the Karbanos were to follow the Mesira, to elicit a response from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, should we go? Okay, that's Ad Kan. What's going on with this idea of Elokei Yitzchak? And it says Elokei Aviv Yitzchak, which is also interesting in case you forgot who his father was. Aviv Yitzchak. Oh, right, that one, yeah. So Rashi says something here, and this is an interesting Rashi, because we're going to see that Rashi here is really, I think, purposefully saying something on two levels, which I don't know is typical of Rashi. I know there are those that say that it is. You've probably heard this before. Yeah, people say, I don't know what the makor for this is, people say that somebody wanted to write some perish, you know, afi kabbalah or something like that, and they whittled it all, whittled it away, and all that was Rashi. You know, yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. Rashi himself says he's there to give them chat. Of course, he's always quoting Midrashim, almost always for his chat. But nonetheless, this is what Rashi says. You're going to see that this is going to be also interpreted on levels. But Rashi says, Lelaki aviv Yitzchak, the korbanos were brought to the Lord of his father Yitzchak. Kayev Adam bechoid aviv. One is obligated and covered for his father. Yoiser mi kavod zekeno, more than the honor for his outright grandfather. The fifa, therefore, tell her beYitzchak v'le baAvram. So it pins his relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu on his father, as opposed to his grandfather. That's what Rashi writes. because of that, it's even his brought lahalacha. So Tar Tanima quotes here over here on the spat. He says, so that's the medrash what Rashi is quoting. So according to this, we learn gam it doesn't mean you're not covered. You're not chayiv in covered of grandfather. It means you are chayiv in covered of the grandfather. So we're not lucky from here. Kibur av extends to your father's father, but you're chayiv more in the immediate av than the generational second generation av. Which leads us to an interesting question by the Meshuvas Nefesh. He writes here, "V'yizvach zachon l'gavius." He quotes all this Perush Rashi, and you see, and his kasha over here is, "V'kashali halo huva aviv chayav b'chod zakenoi." But isn't he and his father obligated in kavod for the grandfather?
Because if the son is chayav, Adam just went to Mitzrayim for the Rav. Yitzchak was the one that stopped, so he's like he's not skipping over Yitzchak to Avram. The whole thing is because Yitzchak stopped.
Wait, what? No, why is he dying? Why is he approaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu through his father?
Because he's the one who stopped. Avram was not stopped from going down to Mitzrayim. So he has to do this because Yitzchak was stopped.
But on the Pashim Shah level, it's just that he brought the Korban with Hashem. And why does it refer to as Elokei Aviv Yitzchak?
One day Hashem would stop.
Because that's the kavanah behind what he's doing.
What he's doing is because Yitzchak was stopped. His father Yitzchak was stopped.
So in a certain sense, it's like a kash. But okay, but la'alacha, that's brought. And la'alacha would mean that he's chayiv and covered for his grandfather. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now his father is for sure chayiv and covered for his grandfather. That's his father. Right? Simple kash, yeah? He's chayiv and covered for his own father and apparently also his grandfather. Okay? His father is chayiv and covered for the grandfather because that's his father. Right? So if two people are both chayiv and covered for another person, so who gets precedence? We know this from what? From when your mother tells you to do something and your father tells you to do something. How is it supposed to work? Who do you listen to? Your mother says do this and your father says something else.
Your father.
Why? Because your mother is also chayav and covered for your father. Because that's her husband. Right? It's just a halacha. Just straight up. So that's his kasha. So he says, wait a minute. So shouldn't it come out to be this way also here? Shouldn't it come out that shouldn't it come out that he's chayav in his, aviv more? That's his kasha. So he has.
He doesn't like that shot then, obviously.
No, he says shemi yesh lechalik b'mefanav shem below lefanav. Maybe there's a difference between the presence of the person and outside the presence of the person. Maybe not in the presence of the person, so maybe not. But maybe the presence of the person in the chanan. Anyway, that's interesting, but it speaks to this idea about whether or not this is actually Rashi meant this, and he does. The matter, you know, it is also true halacha, but is the focus that Rashi is trying to tell us like a halacha here? Because it's a little strange. Is that called kavod aviv because he dot what he did? He use the name or something like that? Like, where do you see here that he's giving greater kavod to his father than to his grandfather?
What do you mean? You see very clearly by like Yitzchak,
but. But it's when the pasuk says that, that's what he did.
Yes.
So what did he do? He said something that indicated covered for his father.
I thought that's what it said. I thought he said Elokei Yitzchak, the God of my father.
I'm saying it doesn't say that. It just says that when he brought his karbanos, it was to Elokei Aviv Yitzchak.
So you mean what was the gesture to show it? That's what you're saying. What was the
gesture? Like how do you know even from the pasuk that he's giving covered to his father more than his grandfather? It's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving a narrative. That's what he did. You know, so, but he had that in mind, you know, so therefore it's a covenant for his father's grandfather. It's a little bit hard to understand on the chat level what that means exactly. So you'll see there's a whole other understanding of this. Okay, but that's where Rashi writes, that's, you know, so to speak, like a level two going out of here. Al pi halacha. The Ramban, so he takes a different angle. And here what he says is, if you look at this shift between Yisrael and Yaakov, so you'll notice that this is a big moment in history. A big moment in history, and I think you probably all are thinking about it already anyway, because Yaakov is going to Mitzrayim. And when Yaakov goes to Mitzrayim, what does that mean?
Start of the Golos.
Right. So the Ramban says, you know, Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Yaakov's name twice. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your name won't be Yaakov anymore. Ki im Yisrael, Yeshamecha. That's your name now. So you should have called him by his name Yisrael. And he's already called three times Yisrael. But he calls him Yaakov to hint to the idea, ki ato with an iron right now, Loi Yashur, however, that not
doesn't
from Israel, right? Yashur. Im Elikim, Vim Anashim Yuchal. You're not going to be able to fight spiritually right now. That's Sarisa Im Elikim Anashim. About Yeye Beves Avadim, you're going to be a slave. Achi Yalenu Gamal until you claw yourself until you're able to go up. Kimeata Hagolus Taskil Boy. The Galus is beginning with him. So he also becomes Israel. He like reverts. He's not on the Madrega anymore of a Yisrael. That will come back in the future. It'll become permanent in the future. But right now, it's almost
he
going
to like,
be
reversed.
And he becomes like passive at that point. Yeah? Yeah, he becomes carried down to the time as opposed to like taking everybody else with him. Mm-hmm. It's like very interesting. on them to carry him?
No.
Knowing what the start of the Galus and things.
But
like,
not only that, you think about it. You know, he's giving an offering. In a sense. Where his father, in some people, giving credibility to his father. But his father gave him offering there in the same place, and Hashem told him, don't leave. So Yitzchak was forced to stay, and then Yaakov, in a way, is coming to the same place, repeating the same things that he said, and yet he's choosing to continue down this
path. Well, that's what Hashem says. I'll tell you it. So you don't be afraid.
So I'm observing that he must have been going through a tumult internally.
For sure. That's why he needed to do this. He needed to go to Beersheba.
It's a form of both personal chizuk and as a national chizuk, right?
But everything, yeah.
And it's not an easy undertaking, which explains afterwards when he comes to Parma and says, you know, my days were long and hard.
Yeah. And the Malbim is going to spell out, and we'll see the Malbim in a minute, all of his concerns that the Kaddish Baruch is actually addressing over here. And he goes through all the whole list. Okay, but let's stick with the Ramban for a minute. So the Ramban says, and he goes a little deep for us, and he says, quotes Rashi in the first paragraph, in the second paragraph, he said, what Rashi is saying is really a soid. But that's what Bereshit Rabba really means. It's not really there to teach us a halacha, says the Ramban. It may be true as well. And maybe there's a great kasha that Mishnah was never based on. Maybe, I don't know. But the Ramban says it's way deeper than that. It means something else. It's a metaphor. When Yaakov was coming to go down to Mitzrayim, he had Galus Yaskel, but it was already known. So Galus is the beginning. He was afraid. And that's what's going on with all this Midas Hadin stuff over here. Is that because the Midas Hadin is becoming very strong.
It's invoked, not by going to Galus.
Right.
It's being invoked now.
So now all of his, that's why it's unique that these Karbanos have to do with Midas Hadin. Like all of you were saying, that it's a place where they all brought korbanos. And that's where he asked Rishus when he went to Charan. They were not a korban oila like they brought before that. Yeah, I mean, people make a big deal out of that in philosophy and Ashkafa. They say that by the Goyim, it's like you have black and white. Either you give yourself sacrifice to God, or you know, it's a olam hazeh. There's no like in between. And the Jews are makadish lechol. People talk about this a lot. That's the concept of Islam. It's people to access physicality for a kaddish parva. But by Goyim, it's like either we separate and we're monks and in the Himalayas and we're, you know, celibate, or it's like forget about it. You know,
English just for that, or is it like stealing?
What?
Almost
it's interesting, yeah. It's interesting. But in any case, so that's what he says. Also, because the shlamim is a way of creating shalom in all kinds of different ways. And because Bedavka, the Midas Adin, is happening now, he needed to mitigate the Midas Adin in whatever way he could, and that's how the Shlamim comes into play. That's the language of a Shlamim as well. And that's why he's getting involved here with Midas Gevura, Midas Adin, which was the closest to him. What do you mean the closest to him? Because there's Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferes. So in terms of the Midah that's closest to Yaakov Avinu, because it's his father, is the Midah Sagvura of his father. And the Midah of Avram Avinu is Chesed. So he's Chayev Bekavod Aviv more than Avi Aviv. So he's closer to the midah of his father right now. He needs to address the midah of his father more than the midah of his grandfather. That's how the Ramban interprets all of this in the Beis Rabba, and Rashi's saying as well.
So it wasn't a covet thing. It was a judicial process thing.
Right.
It wasn't.
He needed to do all this for all of these different reasons. So that Medrash Rabba doesn't want to get involved with the soid over here and midos and spheros and all these kinds of things. So the Medrash Rabba makes it into like a halacha. But the Ramban says this Medrash Rabba and this that Rashi is quoting is really not meant to be a halacha. Maybe it's also. They're not meant to be a halacha. It's really meant to be pointing out the soidos over here. So that's really that's super fascinating, no? That's how the Ramban learns what's going on in this medrash. So by the way, he also points out, underlined in the next paragraph, that's what's going by Maras Halayla also. His Maras Halayla, Layla is also time of Midas Hadin. And he's giving him a vision in the nighttime, Bedavka, Midas Hadin Rafa, because that's a time where there's a certain Midas, so it's a weak Midas Hadin. So that's all related to why Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to Yaakov Avinu in that way as well. So he writes that had he brought Karbanos to Yud Kei Vav Kei to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that would have been Yaakov Avinu bringing his own Karban. Yeah? The fact that it says Lekei Aviv means that first of all, Yaakov is choosing to do that because he could be utilizing his own avenue and he's not. Because at this point, Yaakov Avinu became Yaakov Avinu. He had his own unique Midah, and had he been bringing his own personal Karban, it would have been Midas HaTiferes. It would have been his own personal. He at that point had achieved that, says the Ramban, and therefore he needed to choose an avenue of his father to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu bedafka because of going into Golas and that. And that's what's going on over here is that he's bedafka being makriv lelekei aviv Yitzchak. So that's a lot going on. I'll pick up on it, but that's what the Ramban says. The Rebbe Bechai really just goes with that. Doesn't say anything necessarily more deeper. If you want it to be fleshed out a little bit, hikriv korbanos lepachad aviv Yitzchak midas hagvura. So we'll skip the Rebbe Bechai. But if you want to just it's along the lines. Of course, he was a Talmud from the school of the Rabban, Talmud of the Rashba from the Rabban. The Malbim points out all the things that Kadosh Baruch was saying. Don't worry about. Malbim says yarechi hakel yavicha because the. My lordship will cling to you just like I was with your father. And I'm commanding you to go down to Mitzrayim. He was afraid to go to Mitzrayim. So that's what he said, don't be afraid in six ways. Number one, don't be afraid. That's what it means. You're going to be a goy gadol there. Why does that mean anything? That they were a goy. If you remember on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Yusham Lagoy, Mitzuyanim, that they were different, set apart. They were their own nation.
Yeah.
So that's implied by the fact that they're going to be a unique goy, even in Mitzrayim.
We assimilate, basically.
Right, that there's going to be a Lamashah. You saw Mitzuyanim Sham, they will be a distinction, even though we know they came very, very close.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But because they maintain certain things. So that was number one. Don't worry about assimilation, they won't fully assimilate. Number two, penis ma'ati sham amar gadol, but maybe there'll be a nation, but they're going to be minimized, they're going to be killed and wiped out, and who knows what? No, gadol. And lay tisha sham and look at but what about Shechina? What's going to be with Shechina? I'm going down. It will be Shechina along with you in Mitzrayim. So he says, and also, shiyari peni kaver sham. Maybe I'm going to be buried in this place in Mitzrayim. No, manochi alcha gamaloi. I'll go with you also. That you're not going to be buried there. And then number five, Penny Shosham, but maybe they'll be stuck there forever. I'll come back up, but maybe they won't. I'm like, Gam Aloy, that they're also going to go up. And number six, Penny Yemus Yosef Bechayav, maybe Yosef will die when he in his lifetime. Now Yosef is going to be there when you die. You're not going to see him die. Okay, so coming to the end over here. So the. What?
There's
more. Yeah? Okay, so the Meshech Chachma says something very interesting. He says, in the vision of the night. And he says his name, Yaakov. It's Avram, Yitzchak, Lamatzam. You don't find this by them. You only find it by Yaakov.
It said Avram.
No, but Maras Halayla. You don't find Maras Halayla by them. Mipnei Shehaya Mucha Natzeis Chutz La'aretz Lagur. Because he, Yaakov Avinu, was the one that was ready, prepared. It was the time that he's going to go to Chutz Aretz to be this ger. That's bedafka why he came to him in a vision at night specifically. Why? What's this big deal, nighttime? She'af balayla, b'chashchas ha'galus, in the darkness of the galus, sherish shechina b'Yisrael. There's going to continue to be shechina b'Yisrael. Then there's Yaakov Amin, he's going to spell this out. Yaakov Amin was the third Av. He represents going into galus. He represents the third galus. He represents where we are now. And there's going to be a very dark time. And in that very dark time, there's still going to be shechina with us, sherish shechina b'Yisrael. Wherever they went into Galus, the Shechina came with them. Mikdash Ma'at. Very important. Mikdash Ma'at. There's a big chilek of that. So each one was Mesakin at Tfila. V'Yakov Arvis. Yaakov was Bedafka Mariv. Because it's the leftovers. You're allowed, of course, to be Mariv all these things during the day, of course. But if you didn't finish it, if they weren't burnt up, so then you burn them overnight. You know this by Navua, that the Shechina, there's no such thing as Navua to a Navi in Chutz Laretz, meaning beginning in Chutz Laretz. But if a Navi had his Navua already in Eretz Yisrael, it could continue, like Yechezkel and Navi, it could continue in Chutz Laretz. It has to begin with Eretz Yisrael and go, like Yaakov Avinu, he was in Eretz, but he continued, and the Shechina went with him when he left. That's the idea of Mariv, is the continuity of the Evarim and Pedarim. They're part of the daytime. They were made korbanos during the day, but if they're left, then you can continue to be makriv them at night. So all that's the leftovers. Those are the korbanos at night. He said, "Bina zeh, understand this." Wait, this is what we say in the morning. We say the lametzeh. Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. We say, "Gev chasham shem lekei Yaakov." Bedafka that a Kaddish Baruch Hu was referred to as a Lekei Yaakov. Shenigla Elav Balayla, because he's the one that a Kaddish Baruch Hu revealed himself to at night.
First time he spoke to Yaakov also.
That's in Dachma Layla? He says here, Bedafka, when he's going into Galus, he's revealing himself to Bemaris HaLayla. Umizeh Yatzalanu Musar Haskel. From here, there's something practical we gain from this. Shekasha Yisrael Oichazim Ela Kabbalah. Nanu said that when we stick to our Masaira, what he refers to as our Kabbalah, he doesn't mean Kabbalah like, you know, Kabbalah, he means our tradition, our Masaira. When we go in the ways and the regilus of our ancestors, as the Israeli who goy Isan Atik Yamin, then we're fast and we're strong and we're what we need to be. That's the way it is when we continue with our continuity. As long as you tap into what came
we'll
before,
continue on.
As long as you tap into what came before, it stays with us, and the Shechina stays with us. Gam balayla, even at night,
which is Golos, who's saying, right.
But you have to tap into the daytime. What's the daytime? When everything was the way it was, and we're continuing the Masaira. This is just the continuity at night. If you maintain the continuity, then you have Shechina Shaira. Al bizman shishal bris avoseim, but chas shalom, when Klal Yisrael forget the bris of their ancestors, ve'enam holchim bedarkim, they won't follow in their ways. Az kishehim b'fnei atzumam, they're independent, they're separating themselves from their past. You can't have Shechina Shara B'chutz La'aretz from the beginning. You can't have a Navi become a Navi. You can't have the Shechina come to Galus and be in Galus and start Yesh Me'ayin from there. If it comes with you, it's with you. But to start now, it doesn't work like that. So you have to maintain the Masaira and connect to the past, like Yaakov Avinu did. He was connecting to Yitzhak before he leaves and waits. And who Yaakov Avinu is, that's all coming from Eretz Yisrael and the continuity of nighttime into Chutz La'aretz. So this is in a similar fashion. There's like a shtickle hint to this, if you want. It's not exactly the same thing. You go in a very different direction on this, but I have to say a gematria. So the panim yafas, he writes, the gematria of Yisrael is Yaakov Satan. When Yaakov is Yisrael, see, he has the Satan under control. He has the Satan under control. He's Yaakov and Satan together. He can control. But when you take away just Yisrael, it's just Yaakov. So he says over here, you have to be able to overcome the Satan. That's what Hashem says. Yaakov. He says his name twice. Why does he have to say his name twice? Because Yaakov twice is 364.
which is
Hasatan, yeah. Right? That's what we say on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
He doesn't let us have control one day of the year. Hasatan is only 364, not 360.
But now it makes sense, by the way, because you know the Malach that Yaakov fought was, they say, the Satan. And he defeated him, and guess what?
He's a Yisrael. Yisrael was supposed to be Yaakov and Esav together, and then Esav.
But he defeated the Malach, so now he became Yisrael, which makes sense now because...
Anyway, so you could connect that to all this, or you could take it in a different direction, but FYI.
You can have fun with it.
And finally, we'll finish with this. So the Alshev, so he says, because HaKadosh Baruch was telling Yaakov, you have to go down. Yaakov maybe has his own reasons why he wants to go, but HaKadosh Baruch says, you have to go down. I was saying, HaGadah Anus Al Pi HaDibur, that he was forced, he had to do this. Why is it so critical for Yaakov, you know, to go down? So based on what we're saying, yeah, he's bringing the Shekhinah with him. He has to. He's the continuity of everything that came before into the Gullahs. It has to be Yaakov, you know, to go down. But how does Yosef fit into this? So he says, "Ain shkina shereh beir im ain shami sheyem akav elah." There's no such thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu coming to a place. He comes with a Merkava. He comes with someone that is the tzaddik that can bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu with him.
So that's why everywhere.
What
you were talking about the Shekhinah? What are we referring to?
Yeah,
Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere.
Yeah, of course, presence is always everyone, one way or another. But this idea of the Shekhinah with Klal Yisrael is because there's a Merkava l'Shekhinah. There's someone that brings it with him. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov Avinu, is that you have to go there. Ubiladecha ain ish roi tish Shekhinah alav l'redes Mitzrayimah. There's no one else that can bring the Shekhinah to Mitzrayim. Hashem HaTaymar, so then im kain. So what's going to be? Am I going to go back? Am I? So anyway, bottom line is, B'shem HaTamar, Lama heradit b'shvil shechinascha, B'hala Yosef, B'mitzrayim, Merkava, why can't Yosef be the Merkava? Why can't Yosef, you know, be in charge again? He'd be doing any of this? And he's a kumash kasev b'zayar, Yimnemar shalaya kedai lechach, Mi nishar b'mokim Yaakov b'silukai. Yaakov is leaving. Yaakov's going to die. He's going back to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the bottom line is, he says...
Yosef also did.
Eventually, that's what the Gula...
Both of them.
They all leave. Yaakov leaves both.
Oh, you're right.
So he says, that's what's going to be, is that Yosef is going to be enabled to do the continuity, but he'll never be on your Madriga. Yeah, he's going to maintain it when it's there. And it's going to be Yosef, and everything Yosef represents, and who he is, he's going to maintain, he'll be the Merkava, but you have to bring the Shekhinah there. Otherwise, it's not going to go. And that dovetails with everything we've been saying. Take a look at the Alshev. But,
a lot going on.
Yaakov might have to come down for all 12 Shvatim. Like, Yosef is just his own...
Well, Yosef was supposed to have 12 Shvatim. Yeah. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I just learned
that's
today.
That's with the fingers.
The fingers?
Ashes Poitifa.
Right, he lost 10 drops. Yeah.
But Ephraim Menashe, Ruvay, Mishim, Ephraim Menashe, you believe that he was able to have two that are considered like Shvatim. Anyway, but that's what it is. So all of this comes from this little parsha over here. That, you know, he's traveling. Where is he going? Why is he going? What's going on over here? And really, it's all a big picture of a transformation of two majorly important times in Klal Yisrael's history. And now they're going into Galus. What has to happen to maintain the Shekhinah, and how Yaakov fits into that? And yeah, a lot going on.